Good morning. We're going to do our text.
We are in the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and we're going to read verse 9. Have not I, and the Lord is speaking here, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we're just so thankful for today and for the blessings and for each and every one that is able to be here. And Lord, as we turn our time and thoughts to your word, Lord, just help us to be able to take it and apply it to our everyday lives that we may be better servants for you. And we especially ask, Lord, as your word goes forth, that the Holy Spirit will convict us, and if there are any that need to be saved, Lord, they'll come to know you as their Savior. And we that know you, Lord, will be better servants for you. Just thank you for all you've done for us through Jesus. Ask all these things in his name. Amen. Title of my message is Be of Good Courage. We're going to talk about Be of Good Courage. A few weeks ago, we considered the phrase from the New Testament, Be of good cheer. Jesus shared with the disciples three different times in the Gospels. The Greek word for be of good cheer, if you remember, it was a single Greek word. In order to define that, we had to come up with an English phrase, and that is be of good cheer. And we find that it means to have courage and boldness. And we also see this idea of great courage and boldness of faith in the Old Testament. It's interesting that often concepts found in the Old Testament, right, are also found and taught in the New Testament and vice versa. And that is what we are going to be considering. So in Joshua, Moses has died. That's what basically verse 2 says. Moses is dead. Now it's time for Joshua to step up, and he has done some wonderful things already for Israel as a leader. And now God is going to encourage him to be a good servant, and I think it is very timely and inappropriate for us to consider how God deals with him as a servant, and also for us. So if three different times he says, be strong and of good courage, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, and then verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Now, why would God do that? Joshua really hasn't wavered, has he not? But how about Israel, right? Boy, Israel is all over the map, and he's going to lead them. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, he tells them, look, use Israel as your example of what not to do. They murmured against God. They disobeyed God. And in all this, Joshua was there, and yet he was strong and faithful, had boldness, of faith and great courage, did he not? And so it's kind of interesting, the three times it says here, and we're going to look at these verses a little closer, but three times God encourages him because he is going to have to lead this people in Moses' stead. So three times it tells him it must be important. It's also interesting that three times Jesus used the phrase, be of good cheer. Coincidence? I'm not sure. It kind of seems it goes hand in hand. Three is a pretty important number. If when Jesus used the phrase, be of good cheer, meaning have great courage and boldness of faith, and then when we see be of good courage, right, in the Old Testament, the meaning being what Jesus said, be of good cheer and boldness of faith. They're kind of interchangeable when we look at the concept of the Old Testament, what Jesus was telling his disciples in the gospel, and what God was telling his servant in the Old Testament. The word cheer from the New Testament, courage from the Old Testament, seems to be interchangeable. So this morning we're going to consider, and the very first thing that I want to look at is the Old Testament tells us some things that we must do and use to be of good cheer. So we find, what should we use? First, the promise of God. And so we find that God writing or talking to Joshua, and when he says, be strong of good cheer, there are some things that he tells him that he's supposed to do in order to accomplish that. And so, be strong, be of good cheer. And the word strong just literally means might, but not just in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense, in our relationship with God. Be strong, have faith, have a connection with God, be of good courage and of great faith. And he tells them that the people are going to have this inheritance, and you're going to lead them into the promised land. But here's the reason that he can be strong and have good courage, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. God said, I swear, and that basically means I have made a promise. So one of the ways in order for us to be strong and be of good cheer is to trust the promises of God. It's kind of interesting. I like what it says in the New Testament, how it defines the promises of God. It says, for all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, Jesus Christ, amen, so be it. If God says it, it's going to happen, right? Unto the glory of God by us. In Jesus Christ. What a powerful verses. So he says here, I've sworn unto your fathers to give them, I've made a promise. And boy, we should take stock in the promises of God. I did a little bit of research in dealing with the promises of God, and you can get anywhere from 1,000 promises to some people look like 8,000 promises. But some of the best lists that I saw, that there is some over 3,500 promises in the Bible. Now, there are conditional and unconditional promises of God. Unconditional promise of God is, he said he's going to do it. I'm going to send my son to provide salvation, right? But an unconditional or a conditional promise is that in order to be saved, we have to accept his son by faith, right? And so there's all kinds of conditional and unconditional. Most conditional promises have the word if in it. It takes some action by us in order to claim that promise. And there are general and there are specific promises. The other thing is, not all promises apply to us. One of, I think, the biggest problems that people have in reading, interpreting the Bible is misapplying promises. Now, there's a promise here in our verse that says, which I've sworn unto their fathers to give them. God has promised Israel that he is going to give them the promised land. You know, they still have not totally possessed all that God has promised. They will do that during the millennial kingdom. Now, they've possessed some of it, but this promise is still not fully complete. But here's the thing. That's not a promise made to me. That's not even a promise made to an individual. That's a promise made to a nation. And we have to be really careful when we're in the Old Testament. There are some general promises made to saints to save people in general. A lot of the Psalms promises we can claim. But context, when we deal with promises, are really, really important. It is kind of interesting when we get to the New Testament, There is, I looked at some list in dealing with the New Testament, a credible estimate of the promises of God in the New Testament that apply to us as children of God. It's about 150 promises that we can and should claim. And so we find here that one of the things in order to be strong is that God has promised to help us, to take care of. There's all kinds of things that he's promised. I have a list. I don't even know if you can read that. This is just a list of 10. God's love endures forever. He loves us so much. He sent his son so we could have a relationship with him. Mercy, grace is available to everyone who wants to receive it from the Lord. God never leaves. God will always take care of us. Hebrews 13, it says God is our helper, and so that we can always say, right, God, I will never leave thee, forsake thee, so that we can say God is our helper. Number four, God provides strength for the weary. God is our rescue. God is our protection. Number six, God's salvation is for the entire world. We could just do a whole series of sermons on promises. But the one he's talking about, how can he be strong and of good courage, taking claim of the promises of God? God will meet our needs. Eight, God is always comforting us. God hears our prayers. And the last one, all things work out for the good of them that love the Lord, right, and are obedient. Kind of left that out. There's some things there in those verses that are kind of important about that. So, as we look there about the promises of God, and they are positive, for all the promises in him are yea, to our benefit, we just have to claim them and be strong and have good courage, and step out on faith and do what God has called for us to do. And so the first thing, obviously, we should use is the promises of God. Trust God. Believe in his promises. In order to be of good courage, be strong and of good courage. The other thing has to do with his word. And it says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Only. Don't let all this other stuff get in your way. When it comes to serving God, have you ever let other stuff get in your way? Things, you know, oh, I need to study for a lesson. Oh, I need to go see so-and-so. Oh, I need to, and yet life gets in the way. Only be thou strong. Have faith. Be of great courage. Very courageous. And he says that thou mayest observe and do the law. So when it comes to this being strong and being courageous, the word of God, the Old Testament, right, the law, is going to help him. Turn not from it. From what? The word of God, right? And not from the right hand and not from the left. You know, the word of God and what God tells us is pretty simple. It's not tricky. It's not hard. It's not really overly complicated. We need to know it so we know what to do. What I have found is that most people, if you have been saved and trying to serve God for any length of time, have a pretty good idea of what God has instructed us to do. And yet, if we were to take a quiz of how did you do this week, this year, in serving God, praying, just basic things, you know, we don't always, right? I am a firm believer, and the longer I serve the Lord, it's not usually we don't know what to do. Rarely does a child of God, when they get in trouble, say, oh, Lord, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to tell a lie. Lord, I didn't know I shouldn't have been going around gossiping about them. Lord, I didn't know that, you know, adultery, murder, I mean, I don't know. I really have never come across a child of God that said, Brother Harlan, I need to talk to you. I'm struggling in my Christian life. This is the problem, and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do it. I've never heard that. Brother Harlan, I have these problems, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I don't know how. It's the how, it's the application that I find that we as the children of God, and in dealing with that application, turning not from the right hand and not from the left, staying on the path, believing that God knows what is best for us, and then applying the Word of God and literally just doing it, living it. And I know, boy, that sounds easy, right? But that's the difficulty. That's the struggle for us. It is the how. James, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, right? So here, we need to hear the word, right? We know what it is. It's the doing it. It's the living it. Like a man who behold beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror, and he beholdeth himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This morning, I assumed every one of you has nice-looking hair. We who have, you know, not all of us are blessed, right? But if you have hair, and even if you didn't, I bet you looked in the mirror. And if something was out of place, did you say, it's no big deal? Right, you brush your teeth, and you got toothpaste running down your lip. No problem, right? You would fix it. So the mirror shows what the problem is. The Word of God is a mirror. It shows us what the problem is, what to fix. But we're like the man who looks in the mirror or the woman and says, no big deal, right? Sometimes I go in public and I see people and I don't believe they have mirrors in their house. You know, I wonder, right? And we're kind of like that sometimes as children of God. We don't care whether or not we match, right? We look at it and God says, maybe you should fix this. It would help in your appearance as a child of God, in your life as a child of God. And we're like, it's okay. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Doing, being a doer, takes some effort, does it not? Being a child of God, it's not complicated, it's not difficult, but it takes effort, a lot of effort to do. We know the what, it's the how to accomplish it. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So we find there that it talks about the Word of God being important and how we're not to turn from the left, the right, be a doer of the Word. And then, well, what good does that do? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. There's some promises made to those who are strong and very courageous and live according to the Word of God and don't deviate and are obedient to God. God will prosper them. And I'm not talking about financially necessarily, but he may. There is a lot of people of faith that God has prospered, but God will bless us in our lives in so many different ways. And then it goes on talking about the Word of God, and for them it was the Old Testament, specifically the law. And there's three things there that it talks about. The Word of God in how it should be applied in our life so that we can prosper. How do we live out this not deviating from the left or from the right? First, shall not depart from your mouth. You know, Sometimes we know the Word of God, but things that we say in our everyday conversation betrays us that in our heart is the Word of God. Does that make any sense at all? Our language doesn't bear out that we know the Word of God. So that's the first thing, that it shall not depart out of your mouth. We should know it, and we should talk about it, and not just live it. One of the things that that God had the Israel people do is there was a thing called phylacteries that they did, and he said wear them, to wear it on your arm and to wear it on your forehead. And they literally took these verses that God had promised them, and they put them in little boxes, and they make leather straps. I have some in my office. They're kind of interesting. I didn't think about it. If I knew I was going to do it, I'd show you what they look like. And they literally, when they go to pray, they literally tie them on their forehead and tie them on their arm and wear the Word of God. It becomes part of their life. And that's what I mean. It shall not depart out of your mouth. And then how else are we to not depart left and right and observe the Word of God? The second one is, thou shalt meditate there and day and night, thinking about the Word of God. And boy, there's so much to the Word of God that we can and that we should be thinking about. Those promises, just type in, there's some really good lists of anywhere from 30 to 50 promises of God. Just type that in and read those and meditate on those. Those are really powerful. And then the third one, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We got to know it to do it so that we can be obedient. And then it goes on, so that then we will, what? Look at, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. It's kind of interesting. You know, God has said there that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I believe God will do that. And then down in verse 8, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. We stand on our way to keep God from prospering, blessing us, because we don't do the basics. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. But there are some conditional promises. We have to do the basics. Amen. You know, there are sometimes promotional things. And you know, a store will say, we'll give you a free hamburger, you know, if you show up. And somebody gets mad they didn't get a free hamburger because they didn't show up. That is not a fair expectation, right? Because you didn't do what was reasonable. And the same thing is that we have to do what is reasonable. We want God to bless us. Lord, why aren't you doing this for me? Well, I think the Lord often wants to say verbally and loudly to us, well, why aren't you doing the minimal that I have asked you to do? So I can. We get in our own way. There was somebody in Oregon who recently won the lottery. It's over $300 million. I'm upset I didn't win it. But you know, it greatly increases my odds when I buy a ticket, right? So how can I even be upset? Now, I'm not using these to show faith, but they show the how unreasonable we can be. And we don't act, you know, I wouldn't go to the lottery commission and say, this is unfair, you didn't give me my money, because I didn't even buy a ticket. And yet with God, we act that unreasonable sometimes with our expectations. And then thou shalt have great success. And not worldly success. It could be, but success in our Christian faith and our walk with God and in our fellowship with one another and in just all aspects of our life. Then thou shalt, right? Two of those. But it is conditional upon some actions on our part. And then things we're to do, right? Promises of God. to be strong, be of good courage, trust in the promises of God, know His word, apply His word, live His word. And then the third thing is some things that we should not do, right? Sometimes I think as a child of God, I'm better at the not, doing the nots, right, than the do's. Have not I, the Lord, God commanded thee, Joseph, be strong and of good courage. And we looked at some things that he is to do. And here's some things he's not to do. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Sometimes there are lots of things that worry me. You ever get worried? You ever, this fear and afraid and things that they paralyze us in our relationship with God. I like what Paul says to Timothy, and he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But we struggle with that. The Holy Spirit bears witness that I'm a child of God, and as a child of God, that some of those promises, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And we can overcome because of Jesus' victory. We are victorious, and yet we struggle with all of this fear and all of this stuff. And I'm not saying there's not some terrible, difficult things, but God has it under control. And we have to turn it over to Him. And fear doesn't help us in our relationship with Him and in our Christian life. And the second one, neither be thou dismayed, discouraged. Boy, those things kind of go hand in hand. You get afraid and start worrying about stuff. You get discouraged. You get disheartened, right? And these things are contrary. Being afraid and being dismayed, discouraged, disheartened. These are contrary of being strong and have good courage and faith in the Lord. They don't go hand in hand as a child of God. It just doesn't work very well. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I like that promise. He is with us. He is going to take care of us. All we have to do is be strong and of good courage, not afraid, not dismayed, not discouraged, not disheartened. In closing, this be of good courage, there are three things that other places other than the story of Joshua talks about, and I really like be of good courage. How do we be of good courage? Wait on the Lord. Sometimes I have a better plan, I think, than God does. And I'm going to have great courage in it, and God's going to bless it. Well, we're to do it God's way. We need to do some waiting. And remember what it said there, what he shouldn't do, right? Not be afraid. Paul to Timothy said, he has not given us this spirit of fear, but what he's given us, a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind, pretty powerful things. And I didn't give a verse about this dismay or disheartened part because I wanted to get over here. Neither be dismayed, discouraged, disheartened. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And then what will the Lord do if we wait on him? He will strengthen our hearts, so we're not dismayed. The opposite of this dismayed, disheartened, this discouraged. If we be strong, if we wait on the Lord, and it says there, oh yes, and if you're not sure, wait, I say. Sometimes we act before God is ready for us to move. And then sometimes when God is ready for us to move, we refuse to move, right? So wait on the Lord, and when he is ready, we need to be obedient unto him. The second thing in dealing with this, be of good courage, that it also talks about is having hope in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Hope and faith go hand in hand. Putting your faith in the Lord. You know, our world is a mess. I know the Lord's in control, but it is a mess. All I can do is put my faith, my trust in the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Again, that opposite of dismayed. All ye that hope, wait on the Lord, hope in the Lord. Pianist and song leader will come forward. The last one I really like, it's found in Isaiah. It's kind of interesting that God told Joshua, be strong, be of good courage, wait on his promises, trust in his promises, use the word to know what to do. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. And then it talks about waiting on the Lord, putting our hope in the Lord so we can be of good courage. And the last thing, the last verse I came across, and the last thing I want to talk about, is that then when we are of good courage and being strong in the Lord, we should share that with others. Boy, one of the things that I think is just so important for us and for the Lord's church is we encourage one another. It says, they helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Don't be afraid. When we see someone struggling in their faith, when we see someone down a little bit, encourage them. Be of good courage. Call. Pray. Do what we can. I really like that. It's not always about us. Sometimes we can help others. Be of good courage, and we can help them in their faith also. Let's all stand. How about you? How are you doing with trusting the promises of God, doing his word, living your life, not being afraid, not being dismayed, waiting on the Lord and putting your hope in God? What page? Say it again.
123.
Thank you.